We appreciate the reprieve we had last week. Thanks so much for Dr. Jim Browning preaching for me last Sunday. Gunner was stuck in Houston all by himself, so I went down there and got him, retrieved him, and we went to see my mom for Thanksgiving and my two sisters. So it was really nice to see them. But it's great to be back, and it's great to be in the house of the Lord and talking about God's Word and how God might be able to speak to us today about, in particular, building His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I want to read a text from you in Colossians chapter 3. Paul says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, where you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Speaking about the rapture, when we're caught up with the Lord, those of us who are still alive. And that could happen today. The Lord's not waiting on anything at all to happen on the earth now, to come back and rapture up His church. So that could happen today. But until that time comes, we have an exhortation from the Apostle Paul. We live in this earth, but we're not supposed to be of this earth. Our love is not for the things of this world. Our love is for God. And so our minds, even though we live in this earth, should be set on things above. Now, Paul says things above. Where is things above? What is the place that he's talking about? Well, this place is where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. So we call this place what? Heaven. That's true. But where this place is really what we designate, just to help us understand or kind of wrap our brain around this, is we call it intermediate heaven. So the people who have already died and gone before us, who knew the Lord, they're in this place that we think of, that we call heaven, but it's really an intermediate heaven. It's not the place that they're going to live or we're going to live forever and ever and ever. And so several Sundays ago, we talked about we're going to start looking at heaven and thinking about it. Paul wants us to think about heaven. He wants our thoughts and our minds. He doesn't want us to be consumed with paying the bills and changing the oil and going to work and changing diapers. And all those things can consume you. He doesn't want us to be that. He wants us to think about where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father and all the other things that are going on in heaven. So I want to help us in that thinking today with the message. Now, where the folks go to this intermediate heaven is called the New Jerusalem. I got a picture of it for you today to give you a little idea of how big it is. We've got to work on our video screen over here. It's a little blurry. We've got some things to work out. So the one on the right, our right, is a little bit better. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, that all those folks that are listed in the Hall of Faith, they were looking for a better country. So this place we call heaven is a country. But it also, within the country, there's a city. And this city is called the New Jerusalem. And the Bible gives us the dimensions of this city. This city is 1,400 square miles, or 1,400 miles square, I should say it like that. So you can see the foundation of that city takes up 2/3 of the United States. And then it goes up from that foundation up through our atmosphere, and that little box on top of the earth allows you to see how far up, gives you an idea of how far, how big, how fast this city is. This is where the saints of God are going to live. Now, this immediate heaven is the New Jerusalem, which is up in the heavens. But someday, the New Jerusalem will come down and sit on the earth. Not this present earth. God's going to make a new earth and a new heavens. And so the New Jerusalem, this city with that circumference, with that 1,400 miles square, will be sitting, and it won't be sitting on top of Houston, Texas, though, I can tell you that. It's going to be over there in Israel where it's going to be. And so we're going to be working in this city, particularly during the millennial reign, and then, you know, a lot of stuff to talk about and think about. I don't want us to get into all that. Just wanted to give you an idea about this city, because Paul says we're supposed to be thinking about this stuff. And man, there's a lot of things to think about when we think about heaven. I want to tell you something. The Bible tells us that there are things that you can do in your life on earth, in the here and now, that affect heaven. Did you know that? Did you know that you can affect what goes on in heaven right now? Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. I want to give you a hint on how you can do that. The word that was used in Colossians 3 to seek those things that are above, is zoteo. That word is also used by Jesus in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, when it says, "The Son of Man came not but to seek the lost," to seek that which is lost, speaking about lost sinners. That word is zoteo. That word is also used by the shepherd in Luke chapter 15, who leaves the 99 and goes and chases after, he seeks after, he zoteo, the lost sheep. That word is also used about the woman who lost the coin in her house. And so she searched out her house. She sought everywhere in her house. She saw soteo in her house looking for that lost coin, because that coin was so precious to her. And so these are illustrative, these parables, about what we're supposed to be doing on earth. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, hey, there's lost folks out there that are precious to God. And God wants to use his people, the people of his kingdom, to build his kingdom, to add more people to it so they can live in the New Jerusalem. Not only in the immediate heaven, but later on when it comes down to the new earth and forever and ever and ever and be with God. So, what happens when a believer leads another individual to the Lord? Or when a believer contributes in some way, plants a seed, so that later on some lost person becomes a Christian, becomes a believer. What happens? What's the result of that outside of that person becoming a Christian? Listen to this. Verse 7. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Did you know that when you lead someone to Christ, or you're in some way responsible for contributing, because, you know, like, have you ever prayed for somebody that's lost? And one day, I mean, you prayed and you prayed and you prayed, and then the day came when they got saved. You were part of the reason, you were part of the effect of what happened in heaven when that person got saved. The experience of joy was felt among all those in heaven. Look at verse 10. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, it doesn't say there is joy by the angels of God, but in the presence of the angels. Who's in the presence of the angels? Well, people are, all the redeemed people. God's also there, right? And so joy is exhibited, it's expressed, it's experienced by everyone in heaven when we contribute to the cause of someone getting saved, I'm saying to you, you have an opportunity to affect heaven. Paul says, think about heaven. Well, if we want to think about heaven, we want to think about what's going on in heaven and how we can affect heaven. And we can do so by being part of the gospel. So what does that mean we should be doing? What should we be busy about? We're busy about a lot of things and a lot of good things. Some of the things we just mentioned. And some of you are out there, you know, you're out there shopping and for gifts, you know, for your family, for Christmas. That's a good thing. You're just trying to express love to your family and have a wonderful day, you know, on Christmas Day. You do a lot of good things, but you don't want to neglect the most important things by doing a lot of good things. You want to be thinking about what's going on in heaven. So to do that, I'm going to get a little bit closer to this subject in Matthew chapter 6. And listen to what Jesus exhorted us to do. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. He's got thousands of people out there listening to him. When he's saying this, they're all seated. Allison and I, when we went to Israel, we believe we were in the very spot where Jesus delivered this sermon. And when he delivered this sermon to these thousands of people in the first century, here's part of what he said. Verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Listen now, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think if we're going to follow the Apostle Paul's command in Colossians 3 of setting our affection, setting our minds, setting our hearts on things above, that's where we will find our heart. And where we find our heart is where we will find our treasure. What is Jesus saying to us? Don't build your treasure on earth. Now, you've all heard this before. This is nothing new. It's nothing new for me. But I feel like I have a new leash on this thought, on this concept. Because I'm wanting God to help me to set my mind not on all this stuff necessarily that's going on, a lot of stuff I have to think about, you have to think about, but I want to make sure that I don't neglect how I need to think about heaven. I want to make sure that my heart is not in stuff and things and materialism. Not coveting. I want to make sure my heart is in heaven and I'm building treasure. By the way, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, remember the judgment seat of Christ, and your works as a Christian will be thrown into the fire, and whatever is wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up. In other words, God has given us all opportunities. Some of those opportunities that God has given me in my Christian life, I have neglected. I have turned about face. I didn't do them. Those things that I could have done, there were opportunities that God gave me that I didn't seize. I just turned a blind eye. I just stopped up my ears. Because probably one of the reasons is because I was so involved in my own stuff, in my own life. And I couldn't hear God. So those things will be burned up. And so what will last in that fire, when your life and my life, we have to give an account of our Christian lives, when the things that will come out of that fire is gold and silver and precious stones. In other words, the opportunities that God gave me in my Christian life, and those are different, maybe in some ways, than yours. And yours are different in some ways than mine. But the opportunities that I seized upon and that I obeyed and followed the Lord, God wants to reward me for that. You know, we had several individuals come up here today. We had some young ladies and a young man, and they were baptized. You don't have to go to, you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. What did they do? They got out there and they said, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I want everyone to know that Jesus Christ lives in my life. I want to give that visual aid. I want to give that picture. I want to obey what the Lord has commanded me to do as a Christian. That's a work. I want to follow what God told me to do. I want to yield. God gave them an opportunity. You see, we spoke to them after they got saved about being baptized. And we said, here's an opportunity for you. And they seized upon it. When that's thrown into the fire, it's going to come out as gold, silver, and precious stones being baptized. That honored God. God wants you to have more and more and more of that. All you can get. Why? So that you can go around heaven and say, look at me. Huh. Sometime maybe you can come over to my side of heaven. No. All this stuff, gold, silver, and precious stones, think about it, is shiny stuff. In heaven, the whole New Jerusalem is all gold, okay? And it's transparent. It's not like the gold on the earth. So that means that when God's glory goes out into heaven, all of this gold stuff reflects His glory. So what all this jewels and stuff, crowns and all that, it's all about reflection. Now, remember, what were we created for? To glorify God, right? And in that glorification, we have a relationship with Him. We become friends and family and sons and daughters and so on. So all this stuff that you're able to accumulate in the judgment seat of Christ gives you an opportunity for eternity to reflect as God's glory hits you, it beams off of you and goes everywhere in heaven, and it magnifies God. That's what God, that's the opportunity that God, that's why you're still alive, by the way. Otherwise, God could have just killed you after you got saved and taken you to heaven. No. He wants you to have this day. Okay? But we're all going to have this day. I mean, we're all going to have stuff burned up, right? That's just a given. Okay? And it's okay. You know, we're going to go from this day forward. Okay? We can't go in the past. But we're going to ask God to live in our lives. And to help us think about heaven here on earth. How we can affect heaven here on earth. And how we can do that is by winning other people to the Lord. It causes joy in heaven. The Bible says, wise is the man that wins souls. Now, this is not a new concept to you people either, is it?
No.
We've been down this block before. So, I have an opportunity for you today to help win souls. And to help this opportunity for more joy in heaven. And for more numbers of people to join the ranks in heaven with all of us. I have an opportunity for you. Okay? I didn't plan this opportunity. It just happened. And this is kind of sometimes the way God works. So, Bob Farley, here he is up on the screen. Bob Farley. I met him several years ago through Mike Hopper. So don't listen to anything that I have to say from now on if you don't think much of Hopper. Hopper is responsible for all of this, okay? So I met Bob. Bob spoke at our church years ago. He's been down in Belize. Aaron's down there helping him. He's been down in Belize for a long time. And Bob doesn't need any help. You know, personally, got all that taken care of. So Bob came through town. He's on furlough for a couple months. He hadn't been on one in about 12 years. And so Bob came Wednesday night, was at the supper with his daughter, Hannah. That's Hannah and Meredith. Hannah still lives down there, is planning on working in Belize with her dad. Meredith's in working for the Texas Children's Baptist Home with the adoption agency. Anyway, so Bob comes. I didn't have any agenda at all to talk to Bob. So he told me he was going to be at the Wednesday night supper, and he was sitting there. So I sat down with him. Russell was there. And so I just came out of my brain, and I said, Bob, tell me about the Magi Project. And really, I'd been thinking about it for several years because he had mentioned it, but nothing has happened. Nothing's got off the ground. And Bob says, well, Mike, he says, you know, I want to build a boat. He said, I think it's the best way to do it is to build a boat there in Belize. Because if you bring something into Belize, you have to pay like a 50% duty. He said, I think I can build a boat for about $100,000. Now, why would Bob want to build a boat? Well, I remember when I went down to Belize on a mission trip, and Bob went with us to the airport. There was a big map of Belize. And put the map up there for us, Linda. There was a big map, and I said, because he had spoken to me about this mission effort that his heart was very concerned about. And he's concerned about the Quechua Indians. Lots of Quechua Indians that live in the jungles and in the jungle. And they live on both sides. You see where that arrow is the Sastum River, if I'm pronouncing that right. That little line there is a river, and it separates Belize from Guatemala. On both sides of that river are the Quechua Indians. And you can see here's the mouth of it. And the problem with the mouth of this river is it's only about a foot deep at the mouth. So you can't have a draft of 3 or 4 foot for your boat. And I said, what about high tide? He said, we don't really get much of a high tide because we're so far south. He said, we might get an hour, another foot just briefly. So he's got to build a flat bottom boat. Why does he want to do that? Because these Indians live in these jungles and they got nothing. In fact, Bob's gone back there for several years. He goes back there with a lot of people and he'll build water wells because they don't have clean water. But they're trying to reach them. And here's the problem among many. The problem is these people don't read and write. So if you give them a Bible, is that going to help them? I mean, they got a Bible in Quechua. It's not going to help them. Now, here's what I was thinking. Why in the world did I go to school at 57 years of age all over again? I mean, that's crazy, right? Took me 3.5 years to get out. Why did I do that? My dissertation was on listening to the New Testament. Not reading it, but listening to it. I called a guy up in Albuquerque who gave me the idea. He heads up Faith Comes By Hearing, a $90 million a year ministry. And he gave me the idea. He didn't know it. He still doesn't even know, you know, what I really did. I'm going to deliver my dissertation to him after it's published. But in that idea that he gave me was about listening to the New Testament and getting people in the West to do that. Well, guess what? All these Quechua Indians, they can't read and write. So if you're going to reach them, yes, you can go in there with a translator and share the gospel, but it's over after that, after you leave, and they got nothing. Well, show that little picture that we got up here. Linda, here we go. That's called a proclaimer. Faith Comes By Hearing made this. Let me tell you how powerful this thing is. It's got Quechua on it, all three dialects, okay? It's a sun deal, right? So it charges up with the sun, so you don't need any electricity. So I'm talking to Morgan Jackson. He's over the ministry in Albuquerque, and he says, let me tell you about one of these things, Mike. He said, this is what we use, particularly like in Africa. We made these for third world countries. He said, so we go into a Muslim village, and people sit by the campfire. They all sit out. They all talk. You know, there's a small village, and they listen to the word of God through the proclaimer. He said, let me give you an example. He said, through an interpreter, I talked to one chief the other day over in Africa. I said, chief, how's it going? He said, well, we've been listening to the New Testament now for about 3 months, sitting around the campfire, and so far the witch doctor got saved and all the demons have left. Bob didn't know about these. Now let me tell you what Bob wants to do. So I'm getting all this information while I'm talking to him over the dinner table. And I'm telling you, while I'm talking to him, I'm just feeling like this. I can count on one hand the times I've felt like this. You know, I'm not big on feelings. But it was more than a feeling. It was a confidence that God wanted me to help Bob in this effort. And it was from the Holy Spirit. I knew it immediately. God's Spirit was on me. And I said, "Bob, now tell me what you want to do." He said, "Well, Mike, the problem is that when you go back to that river, go back to the map of police in Guatemala. When you go back there, where his camp is, the other one, the map. Yeah, right there. So they live right here in Punta Gorda. So what they're having to do is get in a boat like 23 foot and go across this bay. And sometimes, man, it's rough out there. I mean, rough, rough, rough. You're seasick. They got to go through that. They got to go over here to Guatemala and check in. They got to go back over to the Belize side, immigration, check in. They've had to change boats about 3 or 4 times. They got to go down this river. And Bob says, "You know, and by the time you get down to this river, you're talking 7 or 8 hours, whatever. Then you got to walk 3 hours to get in the village. Then you start working on the water well and talking to people. And you don't want to sleep in the jungle at night, so you got to walk back. And then you got to do the whole thing going back." It's crazy talk. That's what Allison would say. That's crazy talk. So Bob says, "What do you want to do is get a houseboat, have a missionary family, live on the boat so they can go in that river and park it. Week or 2 weeks, and then to go up into the villages and start sharing the gospel, giving them clean water, and giving them," which Bob didn't know about until we talked to him about it, "Russell sent him one already." Russell sent him one. Was there 3 dialects up there, Kitchy, or 1?
3 dialects.
Yes, they got English and Spanish on there too, because Spanish has kind of worked in there a little bit into Kitchy. So Russell's already sent one down there. So the idea is to have this boat, missionary can live there, and he's also said there's islands out there with other one guys, and no missionary work, okay? So they don't know God. They, a lot of, you know, it's not to say that they haven't been reached at all. We're not saying that, but many of them have not been reached. And I said, "So Bob," I said, "you know, this is the jungle thing, man. Mosquitoes and malaria." He said, "Yeah, Mike." He said, "We went to one water well. There was another guy that came from the States. He was always 3 feet from me and never further than that. He got serious malaria." He said, I've never even taken a pill. Never got malaria. He steps over snakes. Told me about stepping over the yellow jaw rattlesnake." Okay. I said, "Bob," I said, "who's going to be on this boat?" He said, "I am." I said, "My wife and me are going to be on this boat." I said, "Bob, snakes, mosquitoes, dirt, mud, rainy season." He said, "Yeah, Mike." He said, "Nobody knows that area better than I do. I know where all the trails are. I know where it's all at." And he said, and this really, you know, gave me goosebumps. He said, "Mike, I got a call from the guy that led me to the Lord just the other day. And he said, Bob, God's fixing to do something new in your life." He said, "You know, Mike, I feel like I have done what I needed to do there in Punta Gorda. And now this is the time." And I said, "Yo, Bob," I said, "but you won't be there forever. What happens when you leave?" He said, "I've got guys that speak Quechua and Spanish and English that I'm training to be my apprentices that will be going with me so they can continue to do this work even after I'm gone." I said, "Bob, we're going to raise the money for that boat." I said, "I want to be a part of that. I want to have skin in the game." So I told Allison about it yesterday for the first time, and I had to get the fan. She finally woke up after about 5 minutes. She hadn't spoken to me since yesterday, but we're going to have skin in the game on this deal. You see, because I want to put my treasure in heaven. You see, because I want to be responsible in part for just one of those Quechua Indians who didn't know God, who's in the darkness, who has nobody else coming to tell them, and they get saved. You see, I've got not only the message, I've got the messenger who's willing to go. And when that happens, when that first catchee gets saved from Bob on that boat, you know what's going to happen in heaven? There's going to be lots of joy. His name or her name is going to get shouted all across heaven. Man, I'm telling you, that's exciting. And you know what? You can be a part of it too. You see, because we can't all go to the jungle. God knows that. But we can be a part. We can partner with Bob. By the way, Bob doesn't even know I'm saying any of this stuff. I just told him Wednesday night, I want to be a part of helping you, but I didn't tell him how. So he doesn't know. So don't tell him. It's a secret. But you know what? Russell mentioned something in the foyer. He said maybe a Sunday school class might want to get behind having a goal and helping Bob raise the money for this boat. Maybe we might like to have little Sunday school classes. This is not one of these things. I want to invite you to participate in this opportunity, but this is not one of those things where we pass the plate and that kind of thing. This is where you go home, you pray about it. You say, because you know what? I know there. You guys are already giving to a lot of things. People are asking you for stuff all the time. You're already giving. So you need to pray about this. This needs to be between you and God. And if you feel like I feel like, that God may want to use you in this effort, well, you can get in touch with me. You can touch with Penny. We'll help you find the way to do this. And if you want to go down there, when he gets ready to build a boat and help him, you can do that too. And if you want to get on the boat and help him drill a water well, you can do that too. But I'm taking the malaria pills before I go. So, build your treasure in heaven. Jesus said this to us. Paul said, think about heaven. Oh man, we got a great opportunity to affect the status of heaven. Let's do it. Let's pray. As you're praying about your own life and your thoughts, your affection, your demeanor, your attitude towards the things of this earth, oh, ask the Lord to help you divorce yourself from the love of this world. We need His help. And to latch on to God and His kingdom and His work. Why? Because time is short. Ask God to help you to seize the opportunities that He's given you. Because someday, it's all going to be shown. It's all going to be revealed. And you're going to have an opportunity forever to reflect the glory of God. Boy, what a great day it's going to be. Don't say no to the Lord. Listen to His words. Yield to the Holy Spirit.